Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Ophelia Regault Show. And today I am interviewing a wonderful lady that I met at a conference in Isla Mujeres in Mexico. And her name is Dr. Sheila Slattery. And she's a writer and a clinical psychologist who specializes in helping people navigate through their life and change with grace and ease. And I had the pleasure of hearing her do a workshop on journaling, and that's truly what this woman represents in her energy. She is graceful, she is at ease, and she has described herself as an army brat, and she's lived in numerous places overseas, in Germany and Singapore. She has an extensive education in just transforming people's life as a therapist. And she has written a book, East of Mecca. So I am so happy to have her here and joining in the conversation. And we're just going to have a good old-fashioned chat. Sheila, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm great, Ophelia. Thank you so much for this. I'm so excited to be here.
So am I. So what's the weather like where you are?
Actually, it's turned into summer. It's muggy and humid, and we'll take it, though. It's Chicago, so, you know, we weather the bad weather to have the summer weather when it gets here. So it's nice.
Wonderful. So we're going to talk a little bit about you and a little bit about your book. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your background in your own words. Like, what do you do and how did you get to where you are?
All right. Well, I am a clinical psychologist, and I have been for around 33 years. So I have a private practice in Evanston, Illinois, right outside of Chicago. And so that is that's my primary job. That's my primary passion in life is working with patients. I have a good private practice, a lot of young people, a lot of people in the arts and creatives, and just really, really love what I do. I grew up an army brat, mostly in the South, and just came north to Chicago for graduate school. And wound up, you know, getting entrenched here, had kids who got entrenched, and decided that I wasn't going to yank them around like I'd been yanked around as a
That's
child.
Great.
So, you know, just settled here and have adopted Chicago as my home.
Wonderful. So you've written a book called East of Mecca. So tell the audience a little bit about that book and how you were inspired to write it.
All right. East of Mecca, I talk about living in Chicago and having my practice here for over 30 years. But there was one year when my actually now former husband took a job with Aramco Oil Company in Saudi Arabia. And
right.
So we were living there for that year. And needless to say, it was a very difficult thing to go from being a woman with my own business and being able to drive and have the kind of autonomy that I've always enjoyed here to living on a company compound where I was totally dependent on my husband for everything, could not drive, you know, could not leave the compound without his permission. The first day in Saudi Arabia, it's customary. They take your photograph for an ID, they fingerprint you, and they confiscate your passport. And
wow.
So then to get out, the employee, which would, you know, and could, in some cases, the woman could be employed over there, but the employee, which in this case meant my husband, would have to apply for an exit visa for us to have permission to leave to buy a ticket. So my very first day in Saudi Arabia, I had a panic attack. realizing I couldn't just change my mind and call a cab and go to the airport. So I was experiencing my own sense of what that was like pretty acutely to begin with. And then within a couple of days, a woman came by to take my kids to school for the first time. I have two sons. And she came about 8 o'clock, and about 8:15, there was a knock on my door, and there she was. And she said, "Your son said you're a psychologist." And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Can I come talk to you?" And she was talking about her daughter, and her daughter, they were Americans, and there was some trouble. And I kept saying, "Isn't there a company psychologist? Isn't there a school psychologist?" And she said there was a real issue with confidentiality. And so I actually was not, I did not have a work permit, but I actually worked while I was in Saudi Arabia. I saw women, I saw Arab women as well as Western women, Americans, Europeans. And I started, I took notes on what helped me to be able to cope with living in such an oppressive environment. And
right.
I just wanted to get word out there. You know, my first I didn't start with it, the idea of a novel at all.
Right.
I started, actually, I presented to American Psychological Association on oppression of Western women. And then after that, someone, I had an opportunity to meet a famous director, and he kept asking me about my experiences in Saudi and saying, that should be a movie. So I actually took some screenwriting classes, made a script, could never get it sold because no one would take a chance on putting a lot of money into a project that puts Saudi Arabia in a bad light. And,
right, right. And
yeah, so
it's very, go ahead, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay. So eventually I just, to make it a little bit shorter, I just took it back. I took it back and decided to write it as a novel, and which was a better thing for me anyway, because being a psychologist, I can get into all the interior stuff. You know, with a novel, you have a lot more freedom. And my mission has always been to get a story out there, and it's inspired by my own stories, the stories of the women that I counsel there, and what I know goes on with women in Saudi Arabia in any kind of very fundamentalist environment, oppressive environment, but to write it in such a way that the reader can actually feel empathy with these women,
right,
that we usually see all covered in veils, and we can feel bad for them, but it's really hard to empathize with someone if you can't really see them and know them. And so my mission was to put it out there in such a way that readers would get engaged with it and really experience what Sarah, the protagonist, the American woman, was experiencing, but also to really experience what goes on for Saudi women in a situation like that.
And I think that, you know, you did an excellent job in doing that. You have a wonderful way of telling a story and engaging. And I remember when we met at the We Move Forward conference, and you were talking about journaling. You have a way of just drawing people in. So let's talk a little bit about, because you said that your passion is really, you know, in listening to your story here, your passion, it seems to be helping to, you know, help women to feel more empowered in however that looks for them. And you talk about, like, you know, women in Saudi Arabia, we, you know, and for Americans and even Canadians, when we see a woman who is veiled, if we can't see them, we can't have empathy for them. And I think if I can just parallel that in a little bit, it's similar to a woman who is abused and and as women, if that hasn't happened to us, we can't have empathy,
right,
or sympathy. And, right. And and freedom. So when you were there and you were talking to these women, describe what you feel is empowerment and freedom, and how you feel that that's important for a woman to feel and to live.
I think it's all about choice is one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we have things built into our lives, whether we're a Saudi woman or a Canadian or American, or we have things that are built into our lives that are our obligations, our families, work, those kinds of things, our friends. But it's about being able to make choices that feel like good, healthy choices for ourselves. So when
right.
I worked with women in terms of what I learned for myself, Ophelia, this might help to be, I woke up every morning, you know, when I was first in Saudi Arabia. Eventually it was better. It did get better. But I woke up every morning feeling anxious or depressed or both. So I started thinking, what do I do about this? How do I take control and empower myself around this? So what I did was I made a list of things that I did have control over in my life and that I knew would make me feel better. And one was, we were fortunate enough to be living in a compound called Ras Tanura, which was right on the Persian Gulf. So I had this beautiful beach right there that were like 125 steps from my house. And I knew that if I went out and went by the water and I ran, I took a run, or I did something, that would make me feel better. I knew that if I did some kind of work that felt productive, whether it was doing some writing or actually seeing a client, that that would make me feel productive. Also, then if I had some kind of interpersonal contact with someone other than just my husband or my kids, that would make me feel good, make me feel better. And so I, you know, it's just, how do I take care of myself in a healthy way? And so every morning I would wake up and I knew I had a choice. You know, I could remain depressed and anxious, or I could get up and choose to do one or more of these things. And that was what I used with the people, the women that I saw there. And it's what I've incorporated in my practice ever since. I mean, really learning that about myself. There's so much more I learned and got out of Saudi Arabia that's possible or, you know, positive around my personal growth than was negative, because I've been able to kind of take it in and then use it. My personal mission statement is to enlighten, inspire, and empower others for the greater good. And I've taken so much of what I learned then. When we, you know, we're all going to have days or even periods of our lives where things feel out of control, but it's how do we get back to what really feeds our souls and in a healthy way, and that we do have choices around, and it behooves us then to take those actions.
Oh yes. There's no wrong answer. We're having a conversation, so we're, you know, let's think of us as being at the coffee table. And you speak a lot, and a lot of the keywords that I'm hearing there, you know, to inspire and to enlighten, and those are words that I'm passionate about. But also, you know, when I do coaching, you know, a lot of, you know, my clients, they're stuck, and, you know, they work mm-hmm. with a psychologist like yourself, and I take them on a spiritual journey. And my main thing is I always say that I talk to them, do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? So in your situation, you discovered you're going to choose to be happy, because sometimes we're in a situation where you can't change it. You're in Saudi Arabia, you know, you can't change the law to get it to fit you. So you found a way to master your feelings. Your feelings were, you had a right to feel them, but you chose to master your feelings and say, each day I'm going to do this, that this is going to help me to feel happy. And I think that, you know, when I talk to clients, I say, you got to lead from center. And sometimes mm-hmm. we lead our life from the past. You know, we that is our pain and where we're stuck. or we lead our life
exactly.
from the future. Yeah, so you chose to, I'm leading my life from the center, from this moment. And that is a great example. So there's a lot of women out there. So for someone in our audience, how do you see that this book that you wrote is kind of relevant to what's going on to people or women today? How do you see that that would be a relevant read for them? How would that inspire them?
Well, I think when there's any disparity in gender power, that there are, you know, in the book, in East Tobacco, without giving too much of it away, you know, we're not only talking about what happens to Saudi women under these, especially like under Sharia law or under these circumstances. And we're not just talking about then the Western women who wind up on a compound and having to be dependent. But we're also talking about what happens in relationships when one person holds all the power, especially if that person isn't a loving, generous kind of person in the relationship. So one is just what's happening. There's more and more that's happening in terms of just Saudi Arabia and the Middle East and the growth of fundamentalism in terms of controlling women's rights and, you know, not letting them move past where they are, and a lot of abuse that goes on in under the name of the culture. So there is that, but it's also talking about women who may find themselves in a marriage that's abusive or controlling and not and feel stuck, and absolutely feel stuck. And, you know, what you were talking about, like embracing the feelings, I'm forever telling the people that I work with that our feelings aren't right or wrong, our thoughts aren't right or wrong, they are what they are. And we have to start with a yes around those and then go from, okay, this is what my experience is or this is what I'm feeling. So what do I need to do that's a healthy thing to do? And you talked about right. I do that a lot of times because so often what feels right doesn't necessarily feel good, but right is the better of the choices in that case. So I think the book is very relevant in terms of how we as women live our lives in making healthy choices for ourselves.
And, you know, you talk about, and I just want to, you know, help the audience to understand this. We don't have to be living in Saudi Arabia to be in a compound. You know, our relationships, we can create in our relationships with someone who we have given the power, and we can have a compound right here in Canada and living in a big city. And, you know, I hear, you know, when you, and I'm sure you do this as well, when you're working with clients, I hear people say, well, I'm not able to. I have to get permission. And we allow other people to create boundaries and build walls around our life, and then we complain or we fight about it. And I think that, you know, your book is inspiring because it gives you some inspiration to move forward and to do something that will bring you joy, but also to realize you're the only one that can empower yourself and to break down that compound. All right? So, you know,
exactly.
Yeah, so that's really great. So let's talk a little bit about more about you. And I know when you talk a lot about journaling, and how can journaling, if someone is feeling stuck and they feel, I'm living in the compound, you know, and maybe not in an abusive relationship, but they just feel that their life, somebody else may be in control, or maybe it's their job is in control of their life, and how can journaling help them? Because I know when you did that workshop, Mm-hmm. You talked a lot about how journaling helped. And in a way, you're writing your book when you're in Saudi, you're probably journaling as well. How can that help a woman or anyone to kind of move forward and to break down that compound and they can get more control of their life?
Well, it's a way of expressing our feelings, and it's a way of defining our feelings, because we can start writing. In fact, a lot of people, you know, just with the idea of journaling, I feel it stressful and feel it's like another assignment and I'm already stuck, I can't do this. But there is something about the process of starting to write and just allowing yourself to write without censorship and to just kind of start where you are and just keep the pen going, and we click into something almost like the free association that will happen in a psychology and in a therapist's office, something of just talking without interruption and of letting whatever comes out, you know, without feeling like our mother's reading over our shoulder or we can't say that. But just, again, that big yes. Of being able to say, yes, this is what I'm thinking right now, even if they can't access their feelings, or here's what I'm feeling, and just letting it pour out. And the thing is, of being able to come to look at that and then start looking at, instead of that, I can't make this change, of starting to say, how can I make a change? And a lot of times our writing will give us clues. It will give us perspective, even if something doesn't just pop up magically, immediately. The consistency of writing about where we are and what's going on, what's impacting us positively, as well as what's impacting us negatively, it's right there then in black and white in terms of clues as to how to live our lives in a healthier way. To be able to say, this worked, how can I do this again? Or this does not work for me, you know, I keep seeing this and you know, now I'm going to pay attention to it. So we get perspective, which is really, really a gift of life, is perspective, if we are paying attention.
And it's so true, because I was in meditation one day and I got this word retrospective, and it's similar to perspective. And mm-hmm. when we are going through something really bad, I find that journaling has always helped me. And I kind of journal kind of looking back on a moment and how I felt. And from there, it gives me perspective. So because you're not censoring anything, you're just writing your thoughts, you're writing your, you know, you were angry, and then when you look back, you're like, wow, I can't believe that's how I felt. And this, and you, it's almost like it's connecting all the dots together. So it's
exactly.
really powerful. Yeah, it's a really powerful too. So I wanted to ask you a little bit, we're coming down to the last couple of minutes here. Tell the audience, let's talk a little bit about something a little bit different. So tell the audience, do you have a favorite quote that motivates you, that keeps you motivated, or saying, or philosophy?
Sure. I have one that I've got up on the desk where I write, and it says, a professional writer is an amateur who didn't quit. So I use that to just keep reminding myself, just keep writing, because, you know, I certainly wasn't educated or trained or anything to write. It's come late in my life. But there's another one that is more resonant for my whole life, and it's by the writer Samuel Beckett. And it says, in the silence you don't know, you must go on. I can't go on. I'll go on.
Wow, and I love that. I think you need to say that again, Sheila.
Okay. In the silence you don't know, you must go on. I can't go on. I'll go on. And I think, you know, I've had, as most of us have had, so many challenges in my life. I've had breast cancer twice. You know, I've had divorce. I've had all the things, losses, many losses. And, you know, there are those times that we get and that feel very dark and they feel heavy, and we sit with the silence. We sit with that, and whether we're using journaling as a therapeutic tool or prayer, meditation, I use all those. And but we sit and we must go on. And so it's how do we find that and recognize, you know, we've been there before. We've had bad days before. I think at the conference in Mexico, I had just seen this paper that said, you know, something that I wish I had in front of me now, like my track record for getting through bad days is 100%. So that's pretty good. So if we're still if we're still moving along, and you know, we've had bad days, we're still moving along, that's not so bad.
No, and that's a wonderful thing. I because if we only, as you know, there's a quote, I can't remember who said it, but if we only dance on sunny days, we wouldn't be dancing at all, because there's a lot of rainy days in our lives. And
that's
there
true.
Is, yeah, and sometimes
that's
being out
true.
Of the rain is quite nice. So I wanted, before we wrap up, yeah, I don't like being in the rain, but I like being in the rain if I don't get wet, which is a really weird feeling. So let's tell the audience, how can they get your book? Where can they purchase their book? Where can they, and how can they reach you?
Okay. Well, I have a website for me. It's SheilaFlaherty.com. It's SheilaFlaherty.com, SheilaFlaherty.com. I have a website for East of Mecca, my book, eastofmecca.com. So you can go on that and purchase it there. Also, barnesandnoble.com or Amazon, you know, Amazon. Any of those places you can go on and, the SheilaFlaherty.com, I blog. I don't blog as religiously as I probably could, but I've got some blog posts on there and more about me. The East of Mecca is devoted entirely to the book. But, yes, you can just go on Amazon under East of Mecca and purchase it there.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I wish you all the best with your book, and hopefully we'll connect again in person one day soon. So you have an amazing day.
Thank you. You too, Ophelia. Thank you so much.
Bye for now. You're welcome.
Okay,
bye for now. Well, that was Dr. Sheila Flaherty and talking about her book, East of Mecca. So I want to leave you with these thoughts. We talked about the power of empowerment and the power of feelings and looking at your feelings as neither being right or wrong, but truly just looking at them, and how journaling is a powerful tool for you to connect to those feelings. We also talked about that I was thinking about something today, and I was in a garden actually yesterday, and it is in the silence that when we find time to be silent, and that silence can be you meditating or journaling or singing or just stilling your mind, that you can find direction. Because do not let your feelings master you. You master your feelings. Your feelings is simply a thermometer indicating if you're moving to the right direction. Is my life cold? Is it hot? Is it just perfect? So let your feelings guide you. Journal. Empower yourself. Be with yourself. Sit still and find that way to empower. So if there's anything that is making you feel that you're not free, find a way to find some freedom. I hope you are having a great day. I hope you continue to have a great day. Thank you so much for listening. hope to see you soon. Have a wonderful day.